listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the Holiday 2020-2021 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features Stephen Colbert on the cover. This is Vanity Fair Part A. Now here's this month's editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. In the photos, Jesmyn Ward interviews former President Barack Obama over Zoom 2 days after Joe Biden's win. Every year he was in office, I looked forward to President Obama's reading list. I lived for the overlap. To share taste, to read in common, is to speak a common language. Did that scene from Richard Price's Lush Life, when the guy gets killed, still rattle around in his head the way it did in mine? Had 5 years of intervening Franson discourse changed the way he read purity versus freedom? Did he think the politics of Jhumpa Lahiri's The Lowland helped make it her most complicated and best work? In 2017, the year Obama left the Oval Office, Jesmyn Ward's Sing, Unburied, Sing appeared on his annual list. It also won the National Book Award for Fiction that year. 6 years after her win for Salvage the Bones, making her the first female novelist in history to win twice. Jesmyn has been described as the heir to both Toni Morrison and William Faulkner, and neither comparison is hyperbole. In our September issue, she wrote of personal and collective grief, searing the losses of this year into our hearts. For this issue, she spoke to the 44th president about his memoir, A Promised Land, not just as a reckoning with the first half of his presidency, but as a literary enterprise, one that rests on techniques of character building, comic timing, a structural capacity for empathy. They talk about what it means to represent vulnerability and pain on the page. It is a meeting of the minds of two essential writers of our time, one of whom just happened to be our president for a while. If 2020 sent Barack Obama back to his roots as a memoirist, this year also sent Stephen Colbert back to his roots as an improv performer. Working from home since mid-March, like so many of us, Colbert has reinvented himself yet again, a new chapter in his arc from proto-Daily Show correspondent to culture-defining Bill O'Reilly caricature to David Letterman's kinder, gentler successor. And, as has been the case for all of us, the circumstances of this year have shifted his focus, arguably toward what he's been wanting to focus on all along. As Colbert tells Joe Hagan in our cover story, there's all this loss going on in America, and on a nightly basis, because there's no audience, I can talk about loss. But what I'm really talking about is, look at what we love. It's on fire. Thank you. Here are some of the contributors to this issue. Haley Phelan, the Oracle of Brit. Phelan fell down an Instagram rabbit hole during her investigation of the hashtag Free Britney movement. My fascination shifted from the pop star to the incredible community that has sprung up around her, says Phelan. And what their interest in her case says about our culture in general. Geneva Adjuam, Jimma's gift. The vision for the photo shoot was festive, but with a twist, says Adjuam, attributing its success in large part to Sean's stunning beauty. I was really attentive to reading her energy on set, says the photographer. I wanted the images to be a little painterly, like a vision in a dream. Annie Leibovitz, in Colbert We Trust. Leibovitz photographed Stephen Colbert 3 days after Election Day as Joe Biden's lead grew clearer but was still far from certain. It was hard to concentrate, but we pushed through, says Leibovitz. He wanted to project a feeling of hope and peace and light. These pictures are really expressing a state of mind. Joe Hagan, in Colbert We Trust. Hagan says he felt like he already knew Colbert the first time they met this fall. It was speaking to the comedian's wife, Evie, whom a Salinger quoting Colbert calls his level-headed girl, that gave Hagan a clue to how Colbert has kept his bearings in these perilous times. Alice Hines, Firestarters. After watching the leaders of Twin Flames universe on a screen for hours, meeting them in person was a little bit thrilling, says Hines. A question a lot of readers will have is to what degree Jeff and Shalaya buy into what they are selling, she says. The conclusion I reached about this was not the one I expected. Jesmyn Ward, What Follows Hope. Initially, Ward says, she was nervous to talk to former President Obama, but she was pleasantly surprised by the ease of their conversation. He felt immediately familiar, almost like I was speaking to one of my uncles or older cousins, says Ward. Generous, kind, laid back, insightful, and funny. And each of the contributors' photographs are also here on this page. The Trimmings, the Vanity Fair Gift Guide. Leave the world behind. Take gift inspiration and escapist bliss from these throwbacks, now streaming, featuring Dreamgirls, All the President's Men, Back to the Future, The Talented Mr. Ripley, Toy Story, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Opening photograph for this section is by Chase Middleton and shows a Cartier Pentea de Cartier solitaire set. For the sparkling songbird, A Dose of Glitter offers a seasonal glow-up worthy of Dreamgirls, 2006, on Amazon Prime. Razzle Dazzle, Larkspur and Hawk Necklace, Bulgari Earrings, Giorgio Armani Clutch, Thomasine Gloves, Brunello Cucinelli Tuxedo Jacket, Makeup by Mario Master Metallics Eyeshadow Palette, Jimmy Choo Sandals, Crate and Barrel Karaoke Microphone, Marc Jacobs Dress, Worth and Worth Hat, Anissa Kermikje Candlesticks, Chanel Bag, and Diorific Nail Lacquer in Red Wonders. For the Natty Newshound, Keeping Tabs on All the President's Men, 1976, on Vudu, From Nixon's Goons to Trump's Buffoons, doesn't mean sacrificing sharp style. Power Plays, Sandro Jacket, Bevel Safety Razor, Gimme Coffee Beans Delivered by Trade, J. Crew Shirt, John Lobb Travel Shoe Care Case, Woodford Reserve Baccarat Edition Bourbon, Gucci Tie, Boss Bottled Eau de Parfum, Mont Blanc Pin, New Key Rhymic Classic Mechanical Keyboard, Dandelion Chocolate Single Origin Truffle Collection, Appointed Journal, Smithson Folder, and Patek Philippe Watch. For The Time Traveler, Go Back to the Future, 1985, on Netflix, for retro magic. 80s nostalgia meets the newest technology. Fly McFly, Beats by Dre, Power Beats Ambush Special Edition. Polo Ralph Lauren Men's Custom Packable Vest. Motorola Razr Smartphone. Saint Laurent Rive Droit Star Polaroid. Celine by Eddie Slimane Sneakers. Sony PlayStation PS5. Isabel Marant Sweatshirt. Maserati MC20, Judith Lieber Couture Clutch, Palace Skateboard, Dyson Supersonic Hair Dryer in Copper, Versace Sunglasses, and Comme des Garçons Rouge Eau de Parfum. For The Mod Gadabout, One Need Not Be the Talented Mr. Ripley, 1999, on HBO Max, to indulge in La Dolce Vita. Strong espresso, luscious leisure wear, some long cons, Easy Street, Miu Miu Coat, Crate and Barrel Feeding America Ornaments, Tom Ford Bitter Peach Eau de Parfum, Damiani Tar Beach Life on the Rooftops of Little Italy by Susan Maislos, Kid Tracks Vespa Ride On Toy Scooter, Dior Flats, La Pavoni ELH Euro Piccola Lusso Espresso Machine, Shinola St. Pierre Bocce Ball Set, Leica UltraVid 8x32 HD Plus Binoculars, Chanel Le Chant de Chanel Blush Powder, La Double J Dessert Plates, Dolce & Gabbana Bikini, and Area Wear Affogato Puzzle. For the kids at heart, revel in the pint-sized trials of Toy Story, 1995, on Disney Plus, where cowgirls, space rangers, and colorful delights rule the universe. Playtime, Doodle Crayons by Nicholas Bintel, Stetson Hat, Rachel Riley Dress, Quadrille Pizza by Tom Elliott and James Elliott, Apple HomePad Mini, Marc Jacobs, Perfect Eau de Parfum, Prada Bag, Tiffany & Company, Elephant Bank, Louis Vuitton Maison Vivienne, Restoration Hardware Rocker, Sif Toys, Tyrannosaurus Rex Toy, Cotton Candy Cowboy Puzzle by Will Cotton, and Grow 2 Bubble Bath and Body Lotion Set. For the Desert Rose, Apocalypse Now, take a burnished page from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, 1985, on Hulu, where the chainmail gleams and the heat is on high. Fever Dreams, Tom Ford, N002 Ocean Plastic Watch, Neanderthal, Us, Eau de Parfum, Christine Akale Mask, Anna Corey Earrings, Alexander McQueen Trench Coat, Keys Soul Care Obsidian Facial Roller, Coleman Gas Camping Stove, Coach Pants, Sierra Club and Parks Project Time for the Sun Hat, Fendi Boots, Emporio Armani Jacket, Asarai Earth Tones Face Mask, and Moncler and Rick Owens Gilet. Now this from Daisy Shaw Ellis, The Body Electric, with photograph by Leah Colombo, Hermes Mono Earring à la Coute en Rose Gold, Diamonds, quartz, tourmaline, jade, and topaz. Jewelry can look inspirational on a body, but in his new collection for Hermès, creative director Pierre Hardy draws inspiration from the body itself. One necklace webs gold and diamonds in imitation of a vast capillary network. A delicate bracelet resembles the fine bones of the wrist. In this piece, a singular earring, precious stones mimic the colors of the lips. Yet this collection goes beyond the corporeal. Hardy says he imagined shapes our inner feelings could take, a worthy embellishment for nature's greatest work. London Calling. Property developer Edo Mapelimozzi loves a sharp suit, and perhaps for his wife, Princess Beatrice, some pink roses. My Stuff. Style File. Go-to shoe, Thousand Fell Trainers. Watch, Apple. Shirt, White Granddad Collared Shirt by Surplus. Suit, J.P. Hackett No. 14 in blue. Sleepwear, James Pearce. On Beauty, Clean Shave, Essep Moroccan Early Shaving Serum. Moisturizer, Kiehl's Facial Fuel. Cologne, Le Labo Santal. Workout, Running, the best way to see the city. Leisure Studies, Watching Our Planet on Netflix. Reading, Accidental Presidents by Jared Cohen, a history of 8 vice presidents who stepped up when their president was removed by fate. Listening to James Blake on Beats wireless headphones. Sweet Home, aesthetic, minimalist and precise, but with distinct personality. Stationery, Mount Street Printers. Flowers, Sweet Avalanche, Pink Roses. Recent edition, Glassware from Murano. Couch, Oliver Gustav Sofa. Eclectic Item, Knotted Sarah Helsinki Lane Rug by Anna Perkola. The wool is hand-spun and carded by single mothers and women with disabilities. Bedroom Paint, Farrow and Ball Ammonite. Lighting, The Arrow from Apparatus in New York City, as shown in my new townhouse launch at Leinster Square in London's Notting Hill. The menu, morning drink, coffee, and a ginger turmeric shot. Eating in, seasonal salads. During lockdown, we grew a small vegetable garden. Cookware, Alessi's Edo Range. Indulgence, tequila, always. Date night, the Palomar Soho London or Giraffe Restaurant in Paris. Take out Atulenge in Notting Hill. good humor. Comedian Chloe Fineman makes a strong first impression. Lots of them, actually. As interviewed by Britt Hinemuth. Opening photograph by Christian Cody. This year, Saturday Night Live's Chloe Fineman injected stay-at-home orders with much-needed laughs. Using her mimicry-laden Instagram account, at Chloe is Crazy, as the stage for a captive audience, Fineman has merged Cardi B with Sally Rooney, Nicole Kidman with FaceTime, and Tiffany Trump with the English language. The result is viral, zeitgeisty bliss. When a news cycle that's upping the ante for NBC's 46-year-old sketch comedy show and Fineman's return to HBO Max's Search Party, the Bay Area native is bringing smiles to screens everywhere. Her informal training started early. Her father, a biotech executive, moonlighted in local improv classes and let kindergartner Fineman, the middle of three sisters, one paints, the other is a CrossFit athlete, it's like the Royal Tenenbaums, tag along. At NYU, Fineman studied classical acting at the Stella Adler Studio of Acting at Tisch. I really drank the Kool-Aid. I wore a scarf every day, constantly crying, period pieces. After college, she taught dance in Los Angeles to pay for Groundlings improv classes. Mainstream media doesn't care about an Alice Waters impression, but I do. At her SNL audition, it was all these cool New York comedians, and I was like, is there a table for my wigs? Her impressions included Nicole Kidman and Frances McDormand. 2 years later, she got the job. While rehearsing with Adele, the singer decided to run her ultra-long nails through Fineman's hair. I thought it was a spider, but then realized, oh, Adele is giving me a head massage. Cool. With Alec Baldwin, Jim Carrey, and Maya Rudolph walking the halls, everyone's professionally good at seeming chill. That was a hard skill set for someone like moi. Who's next? On SNL, she hopes for more boys like a Shia LaBeouf. I love those men. Following her impressions of them, Catherine Zeta-Jones sent eyeliner. Drew Barrymore invited Fineman onto her show, and Reese Witherspoon asked her to host the Legally Blonde YouTube reunion. This week I heard from Tommy Lahren, which was a shock. Grand entrance. Keep calm and kick off the year with these brand spanking new debuts. As listed by Keziah Weir. The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr., published by Putnam, a polyphonic novel with exactingly rendered characters about the love between two men enslaved on a Mississippi plantation. Detransition Baby by Tori Peters, published by One World, a visceral, funny exploration of sex and gender through a triad of people, trans and cis, rocked by an unexpected pregnancy. A Crooked Tree by Una Manion, published by Harper. An affecting story of the Fishers formed in a Pennsylvania family following a nighttime car ride when a frustrated mother makes her daughter walk home alone. Hades, Argentina by Daniel Liddell, published by Riverhead. A New Yorker revisits his Buenos Aires past. Med student days, a former crush, in this complex tale of guilt, love, and revolution. Goodbye to all that. As the year draws to a close, a proper kiss-off is in order. Here, six cultural voices mark the transition to 2021 with choice words and swipes of lipstick by Laura Regensdorf. Mona Shalabi, data journalist and illustrator. Paper is such a fragile medium. Every time you touch it, you leave a trace. That's what 2020 has shown more than anything else. How fragile our health is, our political systems, our planet. I guess I'm trying to surrender to that a little. Lipstick, Marc Jacobs, Very Merry Cherry. Marilyn Minter, artist and activist. Dear 2020, you've been a real bastard. I have blocked you on social media, deleted your number, and torn up your picture. Hope to never see you again, baby. It's not me, it's you. F off, Marilyn Minter. Lipstick, Chanel Purpre d'Or. Miranda July, director, cajillionaire. I don't want to condemn 2020 for being so hard. It seems wiser to acknowledge that we were humbled, awakened, brought to our knees, and into the streets. I will portion out my hope over the course of 2021 to last until a vaccine comes. Lipstick, Hermes Rose Pommet. Shani Nicholas, astrologer. The year 2021 is here to remind us that communal care is self-care, and collective power is where our focus needs to be. Rugged individualism is not only outdated, it's harmful, dangerous, and the very thing that got us into this mess. Lipstick, Serge Lutens, Violet. Alex Cameron, musician. Today I could be 70. I descend the stairs, frigid and stiff, my partner already angry at me, and I begin the climb, forging a brand new reputation in the eyes of the only person that matters to me. When it's time to sleep, they say they love me. Tonight, I could be 17. Lipstick, Gucci Vantine Fuchsia, with Jemima Kirk's lip imprint in Agatha Orange. Joy Harjo, United States Poet Laureate. 2020, don't look back. Kiss the sky. 21. Lipstick, Pat McGrath, Elson. Thank you. Now here's the Proust questionnaire with an illustration by Risco, Patti LaBelle, the godmother of soul and pie connoisseur, talks drag and the thrill of the stage. What's your idea of perfect happiness? Being healthy. Sometimes we don't know that we're not healthy because we're not going to the doctor. Like me, when I first discovered I had diabetes years ago. What is your greatest fear? COVID-19 and how it's affecting everyone. Also, I'm afraid of not knowing when I'll be able to perform in front of people again and enjoy an audience. Which living people do you most admire? President Obama and Michelle Obama. What's your greatest extravagance? Shoes, purses, and drag, and my home. What's the trait you most deplore in others? People who are not kind. What's your favorite journey? To the stage. On what occasion do you lie? To my grandkids, sometimes. I'll lie a little, or embellish the truth to make them feel better, or to get them to do things they're supposed to do. Which words or phrases do you most overuse? Last time that I checked. What is your biggest regret? Not seeing my sister on her last day of life, and not making the sandwich she asked me to make. What or who is the greatest love of your life? My mother, my father, and my son Zuri. He is my every love. When and where were you happiest? Having fun with my sisters back in the day. I miss playing cards and fighting over crabs with them every weekend. What talent would you most like to have? I can truly say that I'm blessed with everything that makes me happy. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? Being too open and generous to those who don't deserve it. What do you consider your greatest achievement? Giving birth to Zuri. What is your most treasured possession? My shoes and my dog, Mr. Cuddles. If you were to die and come back as a person or a thing, what would it be? A fairy. Where would you like to live? Australia. What do you most value in your friends? Honesty. Tell me the truth, even if it hurts. What is your motto? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you could change one thing about your family, what would it be? I wish they were all still here, which I know is impossible because we all have to go. But if I could change one thing, we would all be here together. And that was the Proust questionnaire with Patti LaBelle. Vanity Fair's Women on Women, edited by Radhika Jones with David Friend. 35 years of classic Vanity Fair profiles, essays, and columns by women about women. Vogue called it a celebration of women's voices. Dazzling, said NBC News. Kirkus Reviews said, these essays pack a feminist wallop. Available in paperback this fall. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.